Thank you, Father. We just praise you and thank you. We come before you, Lord, calling upon your anointing and your Holy Spirit to guide us, to quicken your word to us, that we may be able to receive it, that we may be able to appropriate it, that we may be able to put it to work in our lives. Lord, it makes all the difference in us as your word works in us, enabling us to do the things that we ourselves cannot do. But Lord, to you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. We are going to just keep going on body, soul, and spirit. Or in the way the Bible says, spirit, soul, and body. But doesn't matter the order you put it. The key thing is you understand the function that they have. See, essentially, I use the other order for one reason. You know that we start things in the flesh often, and then the things progress in the spirit. But at the beginning, we always operate more in our senses, our flesh, our understanding. I'm just writing something on that, actually, and that's why I'm sharing this with you. You know, when we are born again, something wonderful takes place. But the thing is, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever, the thing is we do not fully understand what took place. We still think according to our own reasoning, in our own experience, the experience. We don't have any other experience. So we are limited in really even appreciating what happened. Because if we would just understand that, you know, even I believe, even after years that we have been saved, we just grow into the understanding of who we are in Christ. And it takes time for us to register in our thinking what really took place and who we are. So that although our spirit has been changed and we are different, our mind hasn't been changed. And we, unless, you see, our mind is the organ by which we understand. And isn't there at the beginning. And so that transformation has to take place, that is actually the transformation that brings us to be able to be who we are. Until we see ourselves the way we really are in our spirit and we cooperate with God, we cannot be what we could be. And so we had to accept or acknowledge the process we had to go through so that we can become the people that God wants us to be. And this is a process. This is the salvation of our soul. The breakout is at the beginning, but it's not fully manifested. And the problem with us is that we keep looking at the past that is our memories. And we can see all the things that we did before and all the mistakes that we did before. And because of that, and we keep thinking of those limited thoughts that we had before. And because of those limited thoughts, we cannot move into what we could be. And this is what God wants to do. And this is why we need God to open our eyes and to give us revelation of who we are and what he has done for us. So that we can actually, with our mind, with our soul, cooperate with what our spirit already knows. See, we need to strengthen our spirit. To allow our spirit to take charge or control of our life. And at the beginning it's very difficult to do that because we don't even know how to know when it's the spirit or when it's something else. And we have to learn to do that. It's a new game. It's a new way of doing things. It's a new way of walking and thinking and operating. So now, we were just last week showing the different parts, the different functions that our spirit has. If we recognize them, if we understand what they are with our mind, then we can connect better and allow the spirit to take charge of us. Otherwise, it's very difficult. You know, one of the areas that is so difficult for many to understand is the difference between when is the spirit giving you emotions or when are the soul emotions that are operating in you. Because there is a parallel there. So let's look at a bit what, review just a second what the spirit does. The spirit has three components. Okay, and those three components that are in us have different functions, if you want. One is the communion with God, the ability to connect in the spirit world with God, and even more than that, God is a spirit, and we connect or we worship Him or we whatever we do interact with Him in spirit. We cannot do it physically. The other thing is revelation or intuition. See, this is the ability that we get information from God about things. Through that ability, we know things, but we don't necessarily understand things. You may have that experience, you know, studying scripture, suddenly you know that you know it inside, but you really can figure out logically what it means. Well, that's what's taking place there. Okay, there is that intuition, that revelation, and the Holy Spirit works through that to reveal to us things so that our mind later on can catch up on it. So this is really the different parts that we can connect with God. You know, there is intuition, there is communion, and there is conscience. Our conscience is the element inside us that tells us what is wrong and what is right. And it's not a logical thing. It's not by logic, it's not by figuring it out. You know it, you know that something is wrong. And you know it because your spirit can discern wrong and right. So we're going to see all these parts in detail. But I want to start with saying something. You know, Jesus said something that is really important and is related to the Spirit. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe." He demonstrated the truth of that reality, that statement, by being able to do anything that he wanted. And this is really revealing to us a truth that applies to us as well. If you can believe, you can do anything. But you have to believe that thing. Now, he demonstrated that in his own life. But he said that we can do the same thing that he did at even greater things, because he was going to the Father, so he's opening, you know, the all going to the Father was opening the door for us to be able to operate in the Spirit. See, our goal as Christians, as believers, is to walk in the Spirit. And the only way to do that is when our mind is renewed, because our mind tries to control the operation with the information and with the thinking that he got, you know, we got from the world. So there has to be that transformation. There has to be that change inside ourselves. That's why Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? You had to be able to have that breakthrough so that your soul take the proper role within your life. And your spirit also does the same thing, take the proper role in your life. Your spirit should be having dominion over your life. not the other way around. See, the natural man, what the Bible called the carnal man, has either the body or their mind to control your operation. Well, we had to allow the Spirit to control us, but to do that you have to understand the Spirit. Otherwise, if you are confused, how can you do that? So unless you really understand what is Spirit and know the difference between your soul and your spirit, you cannot really move in that direction. This is why I think the topic we are dealing today, this series, is important, because we need to understand how to recognize which is which. And the only way to do that is the Word. It's not our reasoning, evidently, because our reasoning is based on our experience. And most of our experience, especially before we are born again, come from our experience with the world, which is really soulish and carnal. Only way for us to be able to move in that dimension is to receive from the Word the information that we need. But it's more than information, it's knowledge. And that happens at the spirit level when we go to the Word and allow the Word to change the way we see things, the way we think, the way we do. Because Jesus said it, my Word, they are spirit and they are life. So you see, the Word of God has within itself the spiritual content to put us in the place of understanding and feeding our spirit rather than our mind. Many people study the Bible, but it remains a Bible study. A Bible study is feeding, giving you information about things. Bible study is not sufficient to give you spiritual knowledge, with the meaning of knowledge that is actually gnosko, which is actually actual experience. It's the Holy Spirit that does that job. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us from the Word revelation. See, you can read Scripture and get nothing. Or you can get a bit, but you can get more as you grow in the Lord, because your spirit opens up, you start to get more connection with your inner spirit, and the Holy Spirit can get through to you to the point that gets through even through your mind. This is why you can read the Bible 10,000 times, and the 10,001 you get new things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit touches you and reveal to you the truth. You see, that is the component I was talking about, the intuition or revelation component, function of the Spirit, that enables you to see things that are not fleshy anymore, but are spiritual, that are heavenly. Are you following me? See, we have to understand, we have to appreciate the fact that there is no limit of things we can do when we operate in the Spirit. Look at Jesus and give you the example of that. He was fully able to operate in the Spirit, and there was nothing that he could not do. So let's start with one point. That the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that don't you know that you are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who defiles the temple of God will be destroyed by him. For the temple of God is holy, which you are. So really, it's interesting, this statement. The fact that this is a New Testament, New Covenant statement. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Before, the Holy Spirit was not in us. We had to be born again. And then, there is a breakthrough, an additional breakthrough by which you are spirit-filled. Okay, those two components are important, but Jesus was revealing to us that truth, and this is confirmed with this. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to see that the temple in the Old Testament was made in the image of man. It was done the same way as we are made. The same components that are in the physical temple of the Old Testament are actually in us. Now, this was a prophetic statement that, you know, that everything in the Old Testament is symbolic and the physical things have a spiritual meaning. And even in the Old Testament, some of the scholars understood that. And all the temples, all the different tabernacles, and all they had always the same structure. Now, we can split the things, and I don't believe that one has to spend too much time in symbolism because of Old Testament, because really it's not that important. We know we had the things. We don't need the symbols. But sometimes the symbol can help us to see that these things have been planned from the beginning. Okay. So if you remember, the temple, the way it was done, the structure of the temple corresponds to our structure, the way we are made. There is the outer court that actually is the part that we can see, the part that everybody has, everybody can come in contact with. See, everybody was able to enter the outer court. Everything that was there was visible and correspond to the body. It was, in the outer court, there was the natural light that enabled people to see. This is what the body, that's the way the body works. In the outer court, what you had to do, the people in the outer court, they have actually to obey the law, which is really the imposition of things from outside. And it's the Old Testament way. But the point is, this is what the body, we should get the body to do, to comply with God's laws. This is where, on the outside, for the things that Jesus took our place. That's why Jesus came there, on earth. Then there was the inner court. The inner court is where there are actually, you know, the inner court is together with the holy place in some way, but just the beginning, that's the entrance part. And the inner court corresponds to the soul, the process of regenerating the soul. There was the brazen altar and the laver. So you see, those two things, actually the cleansing on the soul and the brazen altar where the sacrifice was made, and that is what Jesus did with us. So through that process, we can enter into the temple in the new area, which is the holy place. The holy place is our soul. This is only the priest can enter there, number one. In there is the oil corresponding to the anointing, that's where we get the anointing. The incense, where is actually the prayer that we pray. The bread of God, which is actually the word of God when we feed in the word of God. And finally, there is the lampstand, which actually is the illumination of the Holy Spirit that enables us to know things. In this case, you see, there is not any more light from outside. The only light that is in the holy place is the lampstand, is the light of the Holy Spirit. You see, we had to learn to put our soul so that it is guided by the light of the Holy Spirit, not by the light of the world. And this is where there is the inner life in ourself, like emotions and will and intellect that we don't see. You cannot see anymore physically with the light of the world, but you have to see it in a different light, which is the light of the Holy Spirit that shows to us. Finally, there is the Holy of Holies. And that corresponds to our spirit. This is where God's presence is. That's where the presence of God is. See, this is where the Holy Spirit dwells. This is where, in the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was, and people could not get in. There was no access except through once a year, through the blood. And really, that's what the way it is for us. To we have no free access for ourselves into our spirit. But when the veil is being rented, then there is ability for us to communicate with that. And this is what Jesus did for us on the cross. So there is this parallel. In that place there is full darkness. There is no light at all. The only light that is there is the light of God. It's God's presence that brings light to the Holy of Holies. Now, if you see that, you see the parallel between that and us. Even the construction of some of the temple was done in such a way that the parallel would be there. But I'm not going to go into that today. I think that it's more important to see today what is revealed to us through the New Testament, especially about our soul, our spirit, and our body. Now, first of all, we have to consider is the spirit is not our soul. And that's a lot of confusion there is this. But the problem with that is often people confuses the emotions that one has with the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to start to recognize the two. There is a big difference between the two. And only when we are grown enough spiritually to start recognizing that difference. Now in 1 Corinthians 14:14 says very clearly something that shows you the difference between the two. See, it says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? If I pray in the spirit, I will also pray in the understanding, and I will sing in the spirit, I will also sing in the understanding. Otherwise, you bless. So the idea is pretty clear here. You can do things either in the spirit or in your understanding. Well, your understanding, which is your intellect, is part of your soul. So you see, there is a separation here, very clearly made, between, you see the implication? You can pray in the understanding, and really not be praying in the spirit. You can say all the words that are right, but your spirit is not part of it. Now, you see, we can't really sometimes cut the two parts off. And so, sometimes we are going to pray with the understanding, and at the same time, our spirit is involved. But the fact that you are praying doesn't mean your spirit is involved. You can say all the right words and get nowhere. So we have to get to the place where we can connect with our inner. You see what Jesus said in John 4:24. The day is coming and when people will worship him in spirit and in truth. Those are the ones that the Father wants. He was he was talking to somebody that was, you know, they were praying their own prayer. They were not praying the Spirit. Evidently, they were going through all the motion of religion. But the motion of religion that's not spiritual, it's carnal. Are you following me? See, that's why it's so important for us to understand the difference and to be able to recognize it in ourselves. See, we have to go back to our experiences really to start making this distinction. When you are born again, you feel inside different. And that is definitely, if you are born again, a spiritual experience. I mean, you do inside, you feel like you are free, that you are forgiven, that you feel good, you know. But wait a minute. You can start looking at yourself. And suddenly you feel guilty about all the stuff that you did before. Suddenly you feel bad about yourself. You feel that you are incapable of doing things. You feel unworthy even to get to God. Well, where is that coming from? Your spirit? That's coming from your memories. It's coming from your mind. It's coming from your soul. So you see, you can shift from one place to another, just shifting the way you are looking at yourself. And we have to understand that we have a part that we pray in which we choose to be in the spirit rather than being in the our mind, on our flesh, on our memories. You see, all things that passed away, he says. If they are passed away, why they keep bothering us? Hello? I mean, let's be honest. You know, these things keep bothering us. You know, we still are limited in our thinking because we think with our mind instead of allowing our spirit to take over and to guide us and to empower us, because the Holy Spirit is going to help us and guide us into that direction. This is when we go to the Word. Because the Word of God is spirit and is life. We feel different because at that moment we have shifted our focus, our experience, or what we look at, to the things not that we can touch or see, but the things that the Word of God says. See, that should help us to see the difference on how, you know, that should motivate us to be in the Word, because that's the only way for us to walk in the Spirit. It's all about how the Word works in us. How the Word of God works in us to change us. It's how we learn to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit is not being weird. Walk in the Spirit is being guided by the Word of God. Some people think that to walk in the Spirit you have to be weird. And it's absolutely not true. You are really more grounded than anything else. Are you following what I'm saying? So you see, we want to get to the place when we start recognizing ourselves, within ourselves, what is going on. We have to recognize when it's God or our spirit or the Holy Spirit working with us, or we're just excited about something and it's the flesh telling us to get excited. When the Holy Spirit works in us, we get excited because you start to see your horizons changes completely. You see so far away that all your limitations are gone. And then you look at yourself and all the limitation comes back. You see, I'm trying to not just give you scripture here. I'm going to try to connect you with your own experiences, so that you can start recognizing what's going on inside you and start cooperating with the Spirit of God instead of cooperating with your educations, with the people, what people preaches, or what anybody says, or what the people write on books. That doesn't matter. God, the Holy Spirit is inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He's going to guide you into all truth. That's His job. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We have that anointing inside us. That doesn't make us be weird. That doesn't make us have funny doctrines. That guides us into all truth. That's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit. But we have to recognize Him. Because otherwise, if we are confused, if we don't know, we think is God. I mean, there are so many stupid things done in the name of God by religion that you can't go by that. See, the history of Christianity is a mess. Why? Because people think about doing the things of God, instead they do the things of their own stupid ideas. Otherwise, those things would not happen. And they're convinced. But so were the Pharisees that killed Jesus after all. They were thinking that, you know, He was blaspheming. Who was blaspheming? Are you following what I'm saying? You see how important it is for us to come in contact with the inner man, what is inside us, and start recognizing what is happening there so that we cannot be fooled by all the doctrines that come around the world. Because the Word of God is the truth. The Word of God comes from Him. That's the first thing we have to believe. Because that's the way He's been operating. See, that's the way the Bible was written. And that's the way the Bible can be understood. So you had to recognize inside yourself the witness of the Holy Spirit about the truth that you receive. And not just ideas that sound interesting, that get you your brain going. That's not what is going to set you free. It's the truth that you're going to set you free. It's the truth that you're going to get victory over all things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you getting something from this? See, I'm trying to go through all the scripture that people read all the time and try to connect you with your actual experience so that you can start recognizing what took place and start appropriating more of what God has given you. Praise the Lord. Well, we had to close, I think. When you get this, what I'm trying to explain, and some of maybe already, I'm not saying that, you have already experienced yourself, but when we really learn to understand when God is speaking to us, and to connect with that and not to make it up, then is the time when we are going to see breakthroughs beyond our imagination. See, this has been my experience. You know, when I give up on all the ideas and that I was getting from anybody else, and I start really depending on the Holy Spirit more than anything else, then all many of the sacred cows of religion have been destroyed in me. And praise the Lord, I don't want them. Okay, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your love. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are our Lord. And that your word, Lord, is what guides us, Lord, that minister to us, that feed us, that give us hope, because in it, Lord, is everything that we need for life and godliness. And you have done it. And you said it's finished. And Lord, we believe that this is finished. And we can come into more and more of that reality that you created for us. The things that you have prepared for those who love you, Lord, that are beyond any expectations that we may have. And we give you all the praises and the honor to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.